Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Patrick Kane, when he touches the puck, all eyes are on him because you know something's going to happen.
Patrick Kane has scored the goal!
Patrick has that ability to lift you out of your seat with his offensive talent.
And here comes Kane!
He's dangerous every time he steps on the ice, every time he touches a puck.
He's got those magical hands and he's got that vision. He certainly makes it look easy, but I can tell you, it's hard to do what he does.
Great players in the game, even at this level, get mesmerized by a player like Patrick Kane.
First time ever the Chicago Blackhawks have had the first pick, and we proudly select Patrick Kane.
Kane going down the slot. Score! Oh, boy!
He's gotten better every single year.
200!
The 300th career goal.
He scores! That's hockey, baby! That's 400 for Patrick Kane!
He's gotten faster, he's gotten stronger.
The Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup.
Even more dangerous as he progresses.
I still have a bunch of fun playing this game. I still enjoy being on the ice.
Patrick Kane will go down as the best American-born player in the history of the NHL.
The Hawks?
Yeah.
You're listening to Bernstein and Rahimi on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's number one sports station.
That's some slick stuff there from NHL Network, and that's the place you can find our next guest, Kevin Weeks, who is on Twitter at Kevin Weeks. You can watch the NHL Network analyst on NHL Tonight and On the Fly beginning at 7 o'clock Central tonight. Kevin Weeks joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at apford.com. Hello again, Kevin. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Good morning. Yeah, how's everybody doing?
We're good, and I just want to be—I want to be clear. Your belief is that he's on track. Like, I believe the term is like, when all is said and done, Patrick Kane will be likely the best American-born player ever in the NHL.
Patrick Kane will be the best born American player in the NHL in the history of the league, and that's not like. It's interesting. I've seen some of the comments from some of the non-experts on Twitter and some of the so-called experts on Twitter. That's not at the expense of the great Chris Chelios, Chicagoland native. It's not at the expense of the great Brian Leetch, nor the great Mike Modano, the Mullen brothers. I can go on and on, and great Keith Tkachuk, even for that matter. And by the way, I played against all those players. So those guys all set the bar for greatness and for excellence. Mike Richter in the net. I mean, there's so many others to mention. Those are all the best and the crop of the best that we've seen in the history of the game. But what Patrick Kane has done, it certainly has not only been mesmerizing, but in this era, what he's been able to do, and the three Stanley Cups, and the simple fact that this guy's been clutch since he was 18, and since he went to London. I mean, the London Knights retired his jersey after basically one season. And I played against London. That was my division in the OHL. Obviously, different age brackets to Patrick. I was there in the OHL prior to him. But I know how many great players, including Brendan Shanahan, and how many great players have come through the London Knights organization. They're an NHL factory in terms of producing players. And I know the way that the London Knights think about him, and I knew that since he was young. So, yes, I stand firmly on my point that Patrick will go down as the best American-born player in NHL history. And that's with all respect to the greats that came before him, too.
Kevin, I appreciate, too, how you discuss Kane's skill level and his athleticism at this point in his career while he's achieving these huge milestones like goal number 400, which we just saw. You've talked about some of the skill level in his recent goals. The Carolina Hurricanes one comes to mind.
Sure.
When you consider the level of play that he is at while he's reaching these milestones that are so big, which usually come a little bit later in someone's career, how do you put that into perspective?
It's wild. That's part of it. This is a great question. It's mind-boggling because, first thing, this isn't the Hawks team that was mowing teams down and winning three Stanley Cups. This is a Hawks team that's in their rebuild and, quite frankly, are having an exceptional season. And were able to pull off a really good season last year, relatively speaking, with being in a rebuild, and look even better this year. And by the way, that's without his running mate, the great Jonathan Toews, in the lineup. And that's without the impressive young Kirby Dach. So you're missing your number one and two centers. Patrick Kane is making incredible plays, continues to produce at a dizzying level and rate, 34 points this year, plus +9 rating, in the absence of the great Jonathan Toews, in the absence of, I believe, a young budding potential star in Kirby Dach. Look, that goal that he scored, you obviously would have seen us going crazy in the studio.
Yeah.
With our and our response to his goal, we were compelled. We couldn't help ourselves. It was that awesome. And that's the thing I heard on some of your intros, some of the other previous guests talking about. He brings you out of your seat. That's the whole thing. Like, he's able to do things and manufacture offense and make plays that you don't think exist and you don't think are there. And that if you do think they're there, they're seen as quote-unquote high risk. And he's able to make those plays. And in a lot of ways, as I say for my TV on-air persona, paint Picasso's with some of those goals, or Mona Lisa's with some of the goals and the plays that he makes. And I always say, some of them should be in the Louvre in Paris. They're that spectacular.
Part of this gets back to a discussion that we had yesterday, and it's really hard to compare players across eras. Hockey's changed a whole lot. And my belief in general in sports is every generation's better than the average player, bigger, stronger, faster, artificial selection and training at younger and younger ages. And people are smarter about what they do. And players of every sport are better than they used to be. Hockey's a little bit different, too, in what's happened with goaltending. And there was a wonderful article in The Athletic a couple of weeks ago that Ken Dryden wrote about goalies are too big and just too good. And hockey's got a problem that goaltending's gotten this good. For Kane to have scored 400 goals at this rate in this era is remarkable to me because of the night-in, night-out baseline quality of NHL goaltending.
Yeah, and you know what, I'll respectfully, I've known Ken, obviously grew up watching him and got to know him in Toronto, being a Toronto native, and when he was running the Leafs and stuff, super brilliant, bright, had an incredible career. I couldn't respectfully disagree with him more that goalies have gotten too good because, I mean, nobody's complaining that Tom Brady got too good. We have a problem in hockey where a lot of people like to keep things where they were and really in place of tradition, which we all love. And none of the advancements in the game are at the expense of tradition. We marry the amazing tradition, like somebody like Ken Dryden, who was awesome with the Montreal Canadiens during his playing career. And we kind of mesh that with the greatness that we've seen from the Pittsburgh Penguins winning three cups in this era, the Chicago Blackhawks winning three cups in this era, and that not be Mario Lemieux skating down the ice as such, but Sidney Crosby now, and not being, Bobby Hull skating down the ice or Denny Savard skating down the ice, but it's Patrick Kane or it's Jonathan Toews or Duncan Keith. So that's just all about evolution. But the one thing I will agree with him on, and I certainly agree with you on, is the fact that he's able to do it with the improvement of the goalies is mind-boggling. And here's something that I'm going to say, and I've said this years ago, because a lot of people, especially back home in Canada, a lot of people always go on the hot take with a hot tongue, Ken Dryden included in this, and saying, oh, well, the goalies are too big, they're too good, they're too this, they're too that. Listen, that's a part of evolution. The reason why a lot of us and a lot of the goalies, more importantly, that are playing now, have evolved the position, and the great Patrick Waugh and the great Dominic Hasek and the great Marty Brodeur and the like. The reason why, Ed Belfour, the reason why is in the summer and in the offseason, we started specialized, especially starting in Quebec, we started specialized goalie training and goalie drills on ice that were skill development, and they enhanced the skill development. Not dissimilar to what the great Michael Jordan was doing with Tim Grover in Chicago. Not dissimilar to what the late, great Kobe Bryant was doing, bless their souls, in L.A., learning a lot of that from Mike, from Jordan, that is. Not dissimilar to what we saw from Tiger at his apex. Not dissimilar to what we've seen from Sidney Crosby. But the reason why I give you those other athletes is in hockey and in the summers, a lot of times it was just players playing pickup and shinny. There's no skill development in pickup and shinny. So the goalies, when we were doing these specialized goalie drills with game-like scenarios and replicating that with repetitions and technique and evolution, a lot of the players were just skating around, horsing around, just trying to play scrimmage. So that's where you got that gap. And the reason why I say that for a lot of you great viewers and listeners, excuse me, out there, Patrick Kane is different. Patrick Kane, and for a lot of people that don't know the back end of the story, Patrick Kane approached his individual development in his game like a goalie. So what a lot of people don't know is when he was growing up in Buffalo and was going to games with his dad and his family and stuff, going to Sabres games, he too was a rink rat. And I know that all too well for myself, otherwise I wouldn't be here today. But Patrick Kane was a rink rat. He was going on the ice with players 2, 3, 4, 5 years older than him. Summer skates, he wanted to be on the ice. The older teams were practicing, he wanted to go on the ice. Skill development, hockey schools, he wanted to be on the ice. And I've spoken to Daryl Belfry about this, who's worked with numerous NHL players. He works for the Leafs as a player development guy. And he worked with Patrick Kane since he was young. He's like, Weeksy, this guy, 13 years old, wanted to be on with 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. And he would be on the ice not 1 to 2 hours a day sometimes. Sometimes 3, 4, 5 hours a day. So when you factor that in, there's no Illinois or, New York State, because he's a Buffalonian. There's no state secret as to how he's become this great. It's the repetitions. It's the work ethic. It's working on those little nuances of his individual skill. And my good buddy, John Torchetti, who was the assistant coach with the Blackhawks and won the Stanley Cup, and I played for Torch in the minors and in the NHL, he said, Weezy, our whole group was different because we did this as a group in Chicago. But Patrick Kane was doing this since he was a kid, and he always wants more. And if you heard his interview the other day after the 400 goals, you heard what he said, basically, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, saying that he wants more. And that's a big part of the greatness. So it's easy for people to whine, the goalies are too big, the equipment's too big, the net's too small. It doesn't seem to bother him because he's been on the right track of skill development, individual development, as opposed to making needless kind of silly excuses like you're in a schoolyard playing street hockey.
So while we're on this appreciation fest and while we're in this vibe, do you think that he's the favorite for the Hart Trophy right now?
I definitely think he's there. I mean, he's certainly leading. Nobody expected the Hawks to be this good this year, obviously, in the absence of the great Jonathan Toews and their young budding star in Kirby Dach. I certainly think he's right up there amongst the top without question. I mean, we can make a case for Austin Matthews up in Toronto for sure, who leads the league in goals. Unquestionably, you can make a case for him. Andre Vasilevsky down in Tampa, even though he's up for the Vezina again, you can make a case for him. I mean, there's different players around the league, Marc-Andre Fleury in Vegas too. But all things being equal right now, as far as the skaters go, the players, if it's not Austin Matthews, I would have to say, as of now, it's Patrick Kane, especially with what he's doing with their group. And I'd also say too, you have to shout out Kevin Lankinen and their goalie. He's been incredible. Malcolm Subban, save for the last game, in his last 5 starts, has been excellent as well. And they have another really good goalie in Colin. Hasn't had a chance to get into the net very often, but the goalies have played well for them. But, yeah, to answer you, I'd say Austin Matthews, obviously Connor McDavid, and Patrick Kane right in there among them.
I was going to ask you, Kevin, about Lankinen and Subban, and there, we really can notice a stylistic difference in the way they approach the position. Lankinen is so, for lack of a better term, he's such a Finnish goaltender. He's, I mean, really, you could draw the lines to Urpo Juolonen himself and his calm nature back there, the way they used to talk about Mika Kiprusoff and just how things could look slow to him. And I love boring saves. I love positional saves where Subban's more explosive. Subban can be a little bit more spectacular, and sometimes he's down in a weird position and he's kind of shaped like a pretzel, and I'm saying, get up, young man, get up. There's another save to be made. There's a rebound to be had. But he's fun to watch, and they're both good. It's just a real solid example of how the different ways the position can be played.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I mean, it's a contrast in styles for sure, no question. Absolutely contrast in styles. And, you know, I spoke to Stan Bowman, the Hawks GM, last week by phone, and we were kind of just reviewing their team and Lankinen and Subban and the like, Delia, et cetera. And their goalie coach, Jimmy Waite, done an outstanding job with these guys, too. You know, who would have thought? Let's be honest. I certainly wouldn't have thought that in the absence of Corey Crawford that the goaltending would have been this strong, right? Like, I made a case last year that Corey Crawford is among, if not the best Hawks goalie that maybe played. I mean, obviously Glenn Hall and Antonio, of course, and Eddie Belfour, the Eagle. But Corey Crawford, for me, is right there with those guys and what he was able to do in the modern era. So in the absence of him, who would have thought that they would have been this good? But, yes, they've been very, very, very excellent so far. Excellent to this point in the season. Lankinen specifically, Subban in about four of his last five starts. But Lankinen is a little calmer in the net, maybe a little bit more measured, and plays a bit of a simpler game. And yeah, you're right. Subban is a little bit more dynamic in the net, if you will. But yeah, I mean, it's no different than quarterbacks. I always say the same thing. No two quarterbacks play the same way per se. Everybody plays the game with their own cadence and tempo. And same thing with pitchers. You know, you look at pitchers on the bump, DeGrom, he looks different than Marcus Stroman, who looks different than Clayton Kershaw. So there's just different ways to go about it to get it done for sure. But I guess if we can tie a bow on the finish part, it's funny you mentioned Ilpo. That's part of what I was saying before when I gave you that answer about Patrick Kane, in that Finland has become a goalie factory the way Quebec was once, the province of Quebec was once a goalie factory. And it all really comes down to hard work and resources, pardon me, and the infrastructure. And at every level of competitive hockey in Finland, there's a goalie coach. Every level. Girls, boys, everything, starting at 6 years old. So they put the resources, they've allocated those resources to the position. And then everybody's like, oh, there's another goalie from Finland. Oh, there's another. What's going on? What's in the water? It's really resources and work and position-specific kind of approach to their development and their training. So Lankinen is another great example of that right now.
Kevin, with respect to the respect that we've given to Lankinen and to Kane in this interview, what is your impression of how the Hawks have become such a pleasant surprise in how they've put it together so far this season?
I mean, it's pretty head-scratching, to be honest with you, because you look at the roster and, you know, we haven't even gotten to the great Duncan Keith on the back end, who's been amazing for them. But, you know, at times he's been paired with that youngster Mitchell, who I think is really, really, really talented on the back end too. You know, you see different players that are getting extended minutes, especially on the blue line, that are learning as they go. But I would say this too, up front, some of these pieces have played really, really well. I mean, DeBrincat is even better. As Stan told me the other day, he's a more complete player than people give him credit for. DeBrincat now, he's not only a shooter primarily, that's relying on scoring goals. He's also making plays too, which makes him more difficult to defend, to check. He's been excellent. You know, Kubalik has been a steal. Pew Suter has been a steal. I credit Stan and the staff for allocating the resources to pluck those players out of Switzerland as players that are off the radar, because you need to get creative in a salary cap era. And quite honestly, not every team is doing that. So I give the staff there a lot of credit for being open-minded and kind of mining the world, not just here in North America, but mining the world for players that you don't have to give up assets for in order to acquire and have them come over and be a part of the team. Those two guys being great examples. But I mean, I never would have thought, even though they had a real impressive finish to the season last year for me. I didn't think it would be possible without, you know, the great Jonathan Toews and, of course, Corey Crawford. Like, those are two huge – and Kirby Dach, those are three huge holes. Your number one, two center and one of your franchise best goalies, those are huge holes. So I've been really impressed. And also their power play, too. Their power play has been very impressive. Both units, I might add, have played well. And as a young team, listen, I've been on young teams as a young goalie, and that's a hard way to learn the league, but probably the best way, because it's kind of sink or swim and you get bombarded quite often. But I have to tell you, those guys and their team and their group, I've seen them go up against elite teams, and when they're playing top-end teams, they don't back down. The Hawks just play their game. They don't back down. And you know, when they're matching up against some of those top teams, that's pretty tough to do. That's really impressive. I mean, you look at what Carolina's done this year. You look at where Florida is. Again, shocking, but Hugh's done it. Coach Quenville's done an awesome job there this year specifically. Tampa is still the defending cup champs. Carolina is a cup contender. My man, Roddy Brind'Amour, coaching them. And the Hawks are right there, 2 points and 1 point behind those teams. That's pretty mind-blowing when you really look at it from that perspective, to be honest.
Kevin, this is really good stuff. You mentioned the conversations that you have with Stan Bowman. Has he at any point asked you to join the front office? Is that because I think it's probably a matter of time before you are working for a team.
No, we haven't had any of those discussions. I appreciate you asking, though, the nature of your question. But, no, we haven't had any of those. But he knows that I've always been very effusive in my praise and the renaissance of the Hawks and what they've been able to do and sort of rise from the ashes, as a premier franchise in the original six. And, you know, a lot of that obviously started with, unfortunately, with the passing of Mr. Wirtz. But since Rocky's come aboard, they've become one of the best franchises in sports. And this is tough because it's tough to navigate after having all that success, right? You look at all the players that have departed there. It's difficult. Excellent players, like from Dustin Byfuglien, Ladd, I can go on and on, the former Hawks. Dave Bolin's no longer there. There's so many guys that were a big part of their group. But the fact that they're competitive is impressive. But, yeah, for me, I love my craft. I love TV. I love media. I hyper-consume it, and I hyper-do it on the air on different platforms, of course, on the NHL Network and stuff. But I love that. But at the same time, it would be about, and exploring some of these opportunities and having some of these discussions and interviews. A lot of it really is about the fit. I'm kind of a people person. My parents are that way. My sister's that way. We're people. And a lot of it really would come down to the fit and the synergy as people that really would drive any of those opportunities. So to this point, that synergy hasn't been 100% there, but in the event that it is, I'd certainly love to be able to be with the right group of people with the right intentions and great work ethic and that treat people first, classy first, and that want to win, that want to compete to win and run a great organization and try to win the Stanley Cup and spray some champagne, as you guys have been able to do there in Chicago. So that's something that I have my eye on, but it would have to tick a lot of boxes to make it a reality, for sure.
Kevin Weeks, always great catching up. Appreciate it. Look forward to talking again sometime. Thanks.
Thank you both. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate all the Hawks fans that watch us on the NHL Network, too.
Thanks, Kevin.
That is Kevin Weeks. You can watch him on the NHL Network, NHL Tonight and On the Fly, starting at 7 o'clock Central Time tonight. We've got Bears stuff straight ahead. We've got the latest rumor about a quarterback they may pursue, and we have tangible, hard evidence of Bears fans being stupid and wrong. That's next on Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's too damn cold in Chicago to be going there, Matt. Are you crazy?
Go Bears!
So before we get to Bears fans and what Layla likes to call my dark place, you're gonna take me there and make me confront it with the Bears and quarterbacks again. Let's go with the latest on what the latest person is hearing about what the Bears might be doing. I'll just let you be the judge of what this means to you. But Jeff Darlington of ESPN was on one of the panel shows, I think it's NFL Live, and he made it sound like the Bears already are putting a foot forward regarding a possible Deshaun Watson trade.
I was talking to a team executive who was telling me basically that, look, the best strategy for team building is to take advantage of other people's vulnerabilities. There is no more vulnerable team in the NFL looking for a quarterback than the Chicago Bears. Houston better be careful here. They've got their guy. They've got their victim when it comes to finally salvaging this Deshaun Watson situation. If the Bears decide to go a different direction, Houston's going to be saying at the end of the day, why did we not do that? Because it's going to be tough to find a team that's willing to give up as much as the Bears will right now.
What? Like, is that just made up out of whole cloth, or is he being told that there is an actual offer there? And by whom?
He also somewhat insinuated that because the Bears are the most desperate, that they were going to be the ones to have the best offer.
That doesn't make you feel any better. It's just like, look, they got the Bears over a barrel, and if you are going to have to move them, while you better act while you have the Bears over a barrel and they don't move on to the next thing, and the Bears are going to give up way too much. So either way, while on the one hand you're like, yeah, they're going to get Deshaun Watson. And on the other hand, it's like, well, what's going to be left and how much is going to be, you know, we're talking about like Jalen Johnson and Roquan Smith and everything else. And I don't know. I don't know how to feel.
This is just making that press conference today more and more compelling.
But the Bears will do everything to make it not compelling. This is the trap I fall into. Ooh, the Bears are going to talk. We're going to learn stuff. No, they're going to give us the same platitudes and pablum that they always feed us, and we come away thinking, I don't know, they're great. They're everything's on the table, and they're collaborating, and they're excited, and then they're fired up. That's what we're going to get.
I don't know. Compared to the 30-minute Houston press conference where they introduced their head coach, I'd say talking to us for 70 minutes about how they were doing essentially nothing was, I thought that was respectable.
So before we get to this Bears fan survey, which I don't really quite understand, let's listen to Dan Orlovsky, who also had thoughts about a possibility here. This was on NFL Live about another angle they could take.
Get on the phone. Don't hang up. Get on the phone and do not hang up. I think that at the end of the day, both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have to ask themselves two questions, and which one do they want to answer? Where am I going to be working in 2022? Or how do I build a roster without three first-round picks? I just think that's the reality, is if they don't go get a real quarterback, if they don't go get a Deshaun Watson or a Russell Wilson, it's going to be very difficult for those guys to keep their jobs with just a bridge or a potential substandard starting quarterback in the NFL. But go get one of those guys and you save your job. And it may cost you a lot, but you can figure it out later on. Figure it out when you have a football team that's in playoff contention because of the defense that you have. You guys who know the movie Rounders, I'm a big movie person. I love the movie Rounders. There's the final scene with Matt Damon is talking to Teddy KGB, and he's like, you know, I'm going all in. And the river card is the ace. And he's like, there's no way that ace helped you. And he's like, you're right, I didn't. I flopped the nut straight. Those first-round picks aren't going to help you guys unless you go get a quarterback and they saves you your job. So you got to get on the phone, don't hang up, go all in.
Okay, I've never seen the movie, but...
Seen that movie?
No, I have not. I know it's one of the all-time Danny Parkin's favorites, but I have not.
Oh, I just love who that is. That's such a subtle cut.
Seen that movie?
Why do you torture me? Why do you do
I'm not
this?
The one on the drops.
I know.
Do you really want me to comment on that?
No, I want you to stay fired. I want you to go away and stay away, and whatever little college is having your defensive brilliance inform them, you can ruin all those players too, and then they can all transfer and be mad at you.
Isn't he at Toledo? Yeah. Is it Toledo?
Goodbye, Toledo. Goodbye, I don't know. I don't care as long as he's not here. As long as he's, you know, not far enough, wherever you can send him.
This is in the similar vein of Bears fans and the quarterback survey I've been wanting to talk to you about for a few days now that you don't want to talk about because you call it your dark place.
All right.
This
let's
all
go there.
Feels like the same kind of attitude.
Where do you want to start?
Well, I always love when the Bears are on national TV because the same jokes arise, and not being from here, I appreciate those jokes because it lets me know the temperament of the fans, broadcasters. And everybody's tired of this Sid Luckman video. And yet, according to John Greenberg's article in The Athletic, the fan survey, he still remains the greatest Bears quarterback of all time.
47% of the people who responded to the Athletic fan survey voted for Sid Luckman as the best quarterback in Bears history. That is wrong. It's just not true. They're not asking who your favorite is. They're asking who the best quarterback is. It's not Sid Luckman. It's Jay Cutler. There isn't a single statistic. There isn't anything that suggests that Sid Luckman was a better quarterback. I know everything, the job changes over eras, the fact that he had as many interceptions as touchdowns, he threw for 100 yards a game. I know the game was different, but that's just not true. Nobody voting in this saw him play. So all you have to go on is the historical record here. And there's no argument here. Maybe you didn't like Jay Cutler, which is fine. You know what? Nobody likes Jay Cutler. Nobody. No one likes him. But he's a better quarterback than Sid Luckman. It's not about you. It's not a likability contest. There are plenty of people who didn't like Sid Luckman either. So it's just crazy how, despite the fact that he's been dead for decades, he's winning the PR battle somehow over Jay. That's how bad Jay Cutler's been at maintaining an image or reputation, optics, or whatever you want to call it, that Sid Luckman from beyond the grave is winning the PR battle.
But they also had the question of who is your favorite Bears quarterback of all time, regardless of statistics. And naturally, Cutler didn't win that one either.
Well, no, because no one likes him. I can't argue with that. That's fine. That's your favorite. Anybody can have a favorite. Mike Phipps could be your favorite. That's fine. That's completely subjective, and you can have a favorite for whatever reason you want. Maybe you like his hair, or maybe you like his name or his number, or just something he did, whether it's Virgil Carter or Vince Evans or anybody else. But I can't judge your favorite, but we certainly can judge who's good and who's better relative to somebody else. Nearly half the respondents said Sid Luckman. It's amazing to me.
I thought this was a really fun article because it just does a nice job of taking the temperature. And let's face it, the quarterback position is something here in Chicago.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No.
So the other question was, why didn't Jay Cutler lead the Bears to more success? When we say these things out loud, they sound really funny when you put them all together. Because it's like, Jay Cutler's probably the best, but everybody hates him. Okay, well, why didn't he be more successful, or why wasn't he more successful? Decision-making was the number one answer, where everybody's just blaming Jay.
Yeah, decision.
Am I wrong for thinking this is funny?
No, it is funny because it says coaching, talent around him, attitude, or decision making, and the answer was decision making. They also asked the question: do you trust Ryan Pace to pick another quarterback? And 92% said no. Of the 1,400 some respondents, 92% said, no, we don't trust Ryan Pace to pick another quarterback.
Did you see what the worst moment was in Bears quarterback history? It wasn't even on the field.
No, there's the worst moment of Bears quarterback history. Halas trading for Bobby Lane, losing the coin flip for Terry Bradshaw, Jim McMahon getting hurt, Jay Cutler getting hurt, the Rick Meyer trade, or the 2017 NFL draft. And in a large plurality, over 40% of respondents said the 2017 NFL draft.
Worst quarterback moment in Bears history.
We didn't think at the time, though. We didn't think that it was the moment. Maybe Mike Glennon thought at the time.
But I think it depends on where you were, because I was in a studio with Alex Brown, and he and I were like, what? Hands in the air. Don't understand. Coworkers were wanting to throw things through the wall. Chris Bowden was laughing. It was a time that foreshadowed the actual situation. Fancy that.
I was at Jewel, right at the cashier at the express lane, and my phone starts buzzing, and I went, holy! Everyone, all the heads turned. I'm like, they didn't know why I was screaming. And I like the Bears traded up for the second pick. It was before they actually made the pick, but I knew kind of what was going on at that point. And wow, that was, you always remember where you are. Wow. Yeah, that's a thing. This love for Sid Luckman. Just all he is a black and white photo that you see. And he's doing like the old pose. And it's like, there it is. Half of Bears fans think he's a better quarterback than Jay Cutler, who's actually far, far, far better at quarterbacking.
At least I know that I have a good understanding of it, having only been here 5.5 years. At least I know that in that respect, we are all on the same page. But when your worst quarterback moment isn't on the field, that's probably an indication of the history of the franchise.
This is great. The 815 says, to paraphrase, the only good Bears quarterback is a dead Bears quarterback. No.
That is not what it means.
That is not to paraphrase it. They're not saying the only good. It just so happens the one people mistakenly think is the best happens to be dead. So that's completely different. Get that thought out of your head. We have the Midday Midway coming up next. You know what we're going to do? This sounds kind of gross. We're going to debrief Jay Zawoski. That's right. We are going to publicly get a trip report from his time in Door County. Jay Zawoski will be debriefed, and we will do sort of an impromptu one-off of half of the I'm Fat podcast, because he ate things. He went to a place, and he ate things, and we need to talk about all of it next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
It's been busy so far on this Tuesday edition of Bernstein and Rahimi. We started talking about the Bulls and what Jokic was doing to poor Wendell Carter Jr. We heard what Billy Donovan said about it. We broke down some of the stuff that Arturis Karnišovas said yesterday. Also had a long and involved conversation with Kevin Weeks regarding the Blackhawks and Patrick Kane's place in history and goaltending. And then we had Bears discussion and with the latest rumors on any quarterback pursuit, and then Layla walked me back to my dark place for a while. Well, where do we start with what was going on Twitter over the weekend? Jay Zawoski and his family, his fully vaccinated family, took a safe and socially distant trip to Door County in northern Wisconsin, and Jay ate everything. Like everything.
Way to
nothing,
be judgy, Dan.
No, it's awesome. I'm applauding. I'm applauding. He said he was going to do it, and he did it, and he took pictures of all of it, and everything looked so good. I think you won. I think whatever prize there is to give for a Door County trip, I think you won.
Well, I feel like I won, and I think part of the problem was that I was documenting everything, where I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a picture, and I'm going to post everything, and every day that went by was like, look at the food I've been eating. What is wrong with me? Everything's fried. Everything's covered in cheese. And I eat that way typically. But I think just the fact that I had it all on record is a running thread when I started feeling more and more shame every day after I would post it. But look, you go on vacation, you eat the native cuisine. And in northern Wisconsin, the native cuisine is fried cheese. And that is exactly what I did.
Okay. First of all, I'm pretty sure that thing where you take a trip and eat food is called a vacation.
Correct.
Which we tried to ruin many times by texting you about sports. I'm sorry. And secondly, we have all been through a year. I don't care what anybody says. You can complain about it all you like, just not to me as much, because sometimes I just might not agree with you and, you know, it falls in deaf ears. But the idea is, it's been rough, okay? Like, your life has changed somehow. Eat all the fried food you want, okay? You did your best trying to not die, and at least with fried food, you can kind of correct it later, you know, with a salad here and there if you like. And enjoy your life for a little bit, because that's important.
I agree. It's just the fact that I had it all on record, and every day I had to just go in there and up. And people were commenting like, wow, you're really letting it fly here. And for IMTAP podcast fans to bring that up, that's saying something.
Yeah, so, those are already veteran I'm Fat podcast listeners. Like, hey, you know, this is thing here.
We're 82 episodes into that, believe it or not. It's crazy.
Wow.
I know. So that's pretty, next week is a big one. Yeah, that's for sure. But everything was so good. Like Wisconsin knows how to do cheese and frying stuff. They've got it down to a science. And I have to say, I wasn't sure what to expect going up there in terms of how, like, the COVID would be and how people were acting with masks. I was really impressed with everywhere I went. And we asked one of the people at one of the establishments, Husby's, like, why were people so militant about masks and taking protocols? And they said the mayor of Fish Creek, one of the towns in Door County, passed away from COVID. And from that moment on, like, the entire community, like, really, really jumped in and took it really seriously. So we actually, because Hope and I are both vaccinated, we were thinking about maybe we'll dine in somewhere if we feel safe, if we kind of check it out and it seems like there's enough space. And we did. We ate at Shipwrecked in Fish Creek, and it was the first indoor meal we've had in a year. And it was just really nice to have someone else bring us food and have beer out of the tap. And it was just, it was very, very refreshing, and it was a great trip. I love Door County. It's one of my favorite places. And this trip was right on time.
You know, I like what you said. And what's really important is when you go somewhere, eat what they eat when they eat it. Like, that is so, no matter where you're traveling. And I started this with the kids, even when we would go to, like, Lake Geneva or something. We you know, or cross into Wisconsin, we would stop for sausage and cheese. And that we're in Wisconsin now. This is what we do. We're going to get deer sausage, and we're going to get cheese, and we're going to eat it in the car because we're in Wisconsin now. And even, like, the different regional aspects, when we can travel internationally again. And knowing that when you're in Rome, you have the cacio e pepe, and you have the bucatini alla matriciana. When you go to Tuscany, you eat all the meat and the bean soup and the bread soups and all that, because they're wildly different cuisines, and it just makes you feel of a place. Local beers, locally produced wines, and it doesn't mean the most expensive stuff. It could be peasant food. It could be a farmer's market. I always talk about one of my great food memories. It was driving from Gainesville, Florida, to Orlando in the back swamps of Florida, and stopping at this ramshackle guy's house to get boiled peanuts that he's boiling in a cauldron in his front yard in front of a mobile home. And it was
Southern,
just like, okay.
Delicacy.
Oh, boiled peanuts are so good. They're so good. And, like, those memories are really powerful, just because you feel of a place.
The only time I've been out of the country that wasn't Canada is when Jameson sent me and Spiegs and Maddie to Ireland. I'm like, all right, I want to have some authentic Irish food. I'm like, is there salt in this country? Everything was the most bland. And it was, you know, it was fish and potatoes and stuff, but it was just flavorless. I look forward to traveling to Europe where things actually have flavor and spice. I was looking around like, is this a joke? Is this really, I'm just having flavorless water with potatoes in it? And flavorless fish with nothing on it. And like, can I get a lemon for this fish? And they looked at me like I was crazy. But hey, I think there's a saying, when in Rome, you know. So yeah, I did that in Wisconsin very, very well. And I'm having, my left arm is numb. And I'm having some palpitations, but it was all worth it.
What was your favorite thing that you had?
It's really kind of lame to say this, but the way cheese curds are done in Wisconsin are different from what you get at Culver's or whatever, where it's more of a breadcrumb kind of a breading. In Door County, it's more of a beer batter, in Wisconsin in general. So everywhere you went, the cheese curds were identical and amazing. And I'm failing, and I know some texter will know it. The company they use for cheese curds everywhere in Wisconsin uses it. It starts with an R, and I'm blanking on it. But every time you go to a place, it says this kind of cheese curd, and they all taste the same because they're perfect. They could not be made better than they already are. So those are the favorites. And then actually the favorite entree we got, Hope ordered the fish and chips from Shipwrecked, and that was the best thing we had on the trip, but everything was so good. Everything was so good. Door County is my happy place. Oh, and I gotta say the Swedish pancakes with lingonberries and strawberries from Al Johnson's was great too.
Ooh, those sound really good.
Ooh, Stockholm Inn in Rockford would be, I don't know if that's still open, but that was always the place for the legit Swedish pancakes. They're a huge Swedish population in Rockford, actually. And, well, you're right about the cheese curds in that little beer batter, and it, and it's different. That sometimes you expect, it's almost like a shake and bake kind of crust on it. But when you, there was a place in Bemidji, Minnesota, where my wife and I went, and we were visiting my daughter at overnight camp, and they had exactly what you're talking about, and they were also a little bit smaller. They were white cheddar in beer batter, and it wasn't like this giant hunk of cheese, so the ratio of batter to cheese was almost ideal, and there's like a little bit of pop, and it was just like, I almost want to get a spoon and eat them that way, but I have my limitations.
You know? The first place we stopped was the Crafty Cow, and that's actually in Milwaukee. It was that we did it on, we got lunch on our way up to Door County, and they had all sort of different cheese curd inspired entrees, and that's what Hope got. She got the buffalo chicken cheese curds, which is buffalo chicken curds, scallions, buffalo sauce, blue cheese. And awesome. She didn't know this, but because we ate in the car, so everything was separated, so it didn't get just turned to mush. She was supposed to put mac and cheese on top of that, too. But she just ate on the side. They get very creative with the cheese curds up there. But even with all that, the best part of the meal is the cheese curd. Just fill me a bowl of cheese curds and I'm happy.
Renaud's, is that the name?
Renaud's, that's correct. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Did you have any pie? Because Luke Stuckmeyer always talks about going to Door County and getting pie.
So the pie place that we go, it's called Sweetie Pies. It's closed in the off season. They're open again, I think it's May they open up. Because a lot of Door County is closed in the winter. But our favorites are open, so that's why we go. And it's so deserted in the winter. It's just beautiful. Peninsula State Park. I have my tourist t-shirt on today. My Peninsula State Park tourist t-shirt. It's just beautiful. Everything's frozen. There's no one up there. So it's gorgeous. But yeah, we've been to Sweetie Pies in the summer. And it's just a little house. And it's one lady in the kitchen who just fills a cabinet with pies. And then at the end of the day, when the pies are gone, she's done. And it's
that's awesome.
The spirit of Door County is very much like that. I love it. But did not
I
have pie
bang
on this
bang
trip.
Pies so. Here. That's the best.
Those are great. Those
so
are really good.
Good.
I'm hungry.
That's it. We're getting pie.
No, see, now I've got a taste for everything. And now I've got I'm thinking
welcome
about
to
all
my
this
life.
Stuff. Yeah, now I'm craving the lake perch at Wally's in Saugatuck, Michigan for some reason. Because that's just, you know, when I start thinking about like Midwestern Great Lakes meals, that is just sitting outside with some sports on, having like a cheap, really, really cold beer, a bottle of Tabasco, some fries, and the big, perfect yellow perch fillets.
I got to try Wally's, you
happy.
Said?
Yes.
I never had that. Saugatuck, my sister-in-law has a place up there. Her family has for years.
Oh, dude, and Wally's is the truth.
I don't know. Maybe I have and just don't know it. But our favorite place is Uncommon, the coffee shop there. So we made a trip last month. Me and Hope and Addie drove to Saugatuck to get coffee. From Uncommon. Because we just had to get out of the house. It's like, we're getting out of here. Let's go.
Yeah,
and we went to Uncommon and came home.
The two places I like are Phil's Bar and Grill in Saugatuck. They have the broasted chicken there and burgers and ribs and stuff. It's, you know, it's just like really, really good bar food. Phil's and Wally's, and I could eat every meal at either one of those two places.
I will make a note.
As you should.
I've never been to Door County, and you guys make me want to go.
Yeah, you should. It's great.
I know.
A couple years ago.
I'll put it on my mythical list. I got to see family first. I miss my family.
Okay, yeah. A couple years ago, Fish Creek does a thing called Winterfest. It's always right around the Super Bowl. And we were sitting out there at a campfire looking around. And I'm like, is that? That guy looks familiar. I was sitting next to Mike McCarthy. He's got a house in Door County. And I'm like, I said, it's weird that the Packers head coach would be here and no one is talking to him or no one's bothering him. So I went over and I like elbowed somebody. I'm like, is that Mike McCarthy? Like, oh yeah, he lives right down the street. Okay.
They've said everything they need to say to him.
Yeah.
Cowboys fans have to talk to him.
They liked him
now.
At the time. At the time they liked him.
I love those mundane brushes with greatness we used to do. My favorite story, I think I've told you this, the little my dad tells, but he was at some hotel on a business trip, and he goes down to the sauna, and there's this one other guy in the sauna, completely naked, and he's just and he's sitting there just sweating, and my dad looks at him, and before he could say, "Are you?" the guy just barks out, "Keenan!"
Gross.
Just a big, naked, sweaty Mike Keenan sitting there. And he like beat him to it. Keenan!
Yes, I am.
All right. Sorry about that, dude.
All right, go to break. We're late.
I know. We're very, very late, and we're very, very hungry. And Darnell Mayberry is standing by to talk Bulls on the Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.